B-Pod Studios.
Sports Up. Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. On 8.5, the Sports Hub.
On the Brady contract, it's always good to come to an agreement with a player, any player. So, you know, that's a good thing. And I'm not going to talk about the contract, so we'll move on from that.
It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract. You know, so the situation, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
I mean, really, he's under team control for 3 years on paper. He says, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
It's an extension.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys that have 1 year left on their contract. That's what he said.
So what do you think that one means?
No, I think he's basically saying I'm being treated like a lot of other guys.
Exactly.
There is, you know, there's that. And there's also, as clear as day, it's a one-year deal. It's a one-year deal. There are a lot of guys that have 1 year left on their contract. And like, so he
and I'm Tom Brady, the most, I'm sorry, Maz, but hearing that again, I'm Tom Brady, the most accomplished quarterback in the history of the game. And I guess I'm just like everybody else now, huh? A lot of guys are in their walk year. I guess I'm just like them, huh?
So like, he doesn't want to dump on the other guys, right? So like, the rest of that cut, he goes on and says, you know, guys have to deal with it. It's a business of the league. And so like, but in some way, there's two things there. One, he's letting everybody know I'm on a 1 year deal.
That this deal, this contract, is a steaming pile of garbage.
Right, it's a one-year deal.
It's a fake deal.
Right, and then I think the other message there is, you know, whether he meant it that way or not, is I'm being treated like a lot of other people. Tom Brady, greatest player in the history of the league, 9 Super Bowls. 9. 13 conference championship games, 9 in a row. Is that what it is now? Sorry, I lost count. Who can count that many? Who can count that high? For crying out loud, whatever it is, I'm being treated like everybody else. Look, on some level, I don't care what the callers say. The guy like in the, I don't remember who that was. The caller in the last segment, I don't care what you say. I don't care. He goes home and he says to his wife, can you believe what these a-holes are doing to me?
Again?
Yeah, that's what he says. Can you believe this? Can you believe that this is what they're doing? After what we've accomplished and what we've done and how we've managed the whole thing, can you believe that this is what it's come to?
Okay,
again.
Back to your thoughts. This and the Sox. Rest of the hour. Stephen Linfield. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
How you doing?
Listen, I got 3 quick subjects that I'll for one of you each. Mike, this one's for you because I know you don't like 3 subjects, so I'm going to talk quick with you about this one. I think the big thing with Brady right now in this contract situation is with his wife and family. And the Krafts and Belichick know this. And he's not going to go anywhere, Mike. You know he's not going to uproot his family. He's not going to go to Tennessee.
I agree.
At the end of this year, if Vrabel ever went to him and said, Tom, I'll give you $50 million for 2 years, right? What do you think he'd say? Giselle would sit there and say, no way.
Yeah, she's not moving to Nashville. What's number 2 and 3
she's
there?
Not, right. The other one, Maz, with the Red Sox. How have the Houston Astros been for the last 4 years? They've been to the playoffs. They've been to the World Series. They've been to the championship leagues. They've been doing strong.
Yep.
The Red Sox have done nothing this year.
Okay, I'm just going to stop. Houston, last year, perfect example of a team that World Series hangover, harder to do the second year, but at least they posted. At least they made a bid.
They won 103 games and got to the LCS.
Okay, so that's what this Red Sox team should be. If you're going to tell me they're going to come up short because it's just really hard to do in that league and no one does it and there's just too many things working against you, fine. Post, compete, take it as far as you can take it. That Astros team did. They ran into you at the end of the year. You were a better team by that point, and they bowed out. But they put in, they at least competed and took it as far as they were going to take it. This thing that the Red Sox are doing, this is embarrassing.
It is, again. What I expected from them this year, and this goes back to all the stuff that we talked about at the beginning of the year, was what would be a successful season. We defined it. Get to the LCS. Win around, get to the LCS, see what happens. If you run into someone who's hungrier or better than you, so be it. It's tough to repeat. We all know that. But given the talent level on this team, get back there. Get back. Make noise.
Exactly. So back to the Brady thing. If he's not going to go anywhere, and I don't think he is, I don't think he'd ever play for another team. You know, why is this significant? And I mean, I just think it's, I think Brady's unhappy. And not like unhappy when his life or unhappy to the point where he's going to stage any sort of walkout. Or like, I think he would have gotten on the plane to Detroit. I do. But
he's insulted.
If he, you know, I just think it's notable that he feels a little jerked around on the contract. So that's just notable. That's one. And two, the most important thing with the team right now is how much longer is he going to play? And I always felt this contract was going to be a tell. You'd be able to tell. If he had tens of millions of dollars guaranteed, beyond just a season's worth of guaranteed money, apparently the first year here is going to be guaranteed, converted into a bonus like $23-24 million. But if it were greater, if it were 30, 40, 50 million guaranteed, then you'd look at that and you'd say, well, that's a commitment by the team that says he's got to play a couple years to justify that. You can't guarantee for 1 year of commitment $50 million. No, that means he's going to play 2 years. So not only did he not get that big guarantee here, the actual years that he got are complete caca. They're automatically voided on the last day of the year. So it's not just not guaranteed. It's like going in the other direction. It's guaranteed to be unguaranteed. So that to me is just telling. I feel he's more year to year now than I thought he was before this.
I mean, based on the deal, they're effectively daring him to retire. I mean, that's how I look at it. Like, you know, that there's no deal in place. They have no control over where Tom Brady goes at the end of the year. None. So they're either 100% putting their faith in Brady and daring him to screw them over, if that's how they look at it, or daring him to go. What other way is there to look at it?
Alex in Fairhaven, what other way is there to look at it?
He's gone. I mean, we're looking at the real estate thing, just like with Kyrie Irving. He's either going to another team, which I'm leaning no, or he's retiring. This is it. That's it. We're done.
Okay, I think the real estate stuff is often a tell. It was with Gronkowski. He put his condo on the market here in Boston, Kyrie, we all know, I think, follow the real estate. LeBron with his kid in school in Los Angeles and buying homes in Los Angeles. Like, there's a lot of precedent for this. And I don't know if that, you know, means he's going to go play for the Giants or the Jets, for crying out loud. I don't think that's happening, but they spent a lot of time in New York, those two. And so, I don't know. For as much money as they have, does it make sense to have two of those castles? I mean, because these aren't homes. These are freaking castles that they build. The thing in Brentwood was a freaking chalet. It was a castle.
Yeah, they like castles.
And that thing in Brookline is a effing castle. It's not a home. And you probably look at the same thing there in New York, New Jersey, whatever. Connecticut.
It's Greenwich, Connecticut. And that's Greenwich. All that is there.
Castles.
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 For rich bankers.
So, I don't know. I think there's something to that. Tom and Quincy, how are you enjoying your Red Sox right now, Tommy?
Oh, my God, Mike. Well, they did it. They actually did it, which I didn't think they'd be able to do, and pissed me off more than I was after, like, the first 19 games of the year. Then they kind of put a couple wins together, and then, you know, then they have a couple losing streaks, and then they can never close out a series, and then they can't do this, and they can't get a sweep, and then they go to London and have that S-show out there. That pissed me off even more. This last episode here, these 14 games, which they needed to do something because they're trying to make ground on the two teams that are ahead of them, and these sackless stiffs go 5-9. And now you are 14 and a half out of the division. You're 6.5 back out of the second wild card. And trust me, when they lose the series against the Royals this week, they're going to get jumped by either the Angels or the Rangers for that second spot. So they have dug themselves in a spot that I seriously makes me physically sick to my stomach on what that display was for these last 2 weeks. Like, you've got to be kidding me. You got some serious decisions to make at the end of the year.
Where do you start, Tom? Where do you start?
Mookie, gone. Then I think it's Moreland and Pierce are free after. Let them go. Then you got to find a second baseman. The only guys worth keeping on that whole friggin' team right now are Devers and Bogaerts.
Okay, so just let me stop you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm with him on that.
By the way, I was just looking at the standings again in the loss column. There's 7 out of the wild card.
And isn't Texas only a half game behind them?
Actually, they have more losses than Texas, who's behind them by a half game. So technically, Texas is also ahead of them in the loss column. That's
freaking sad.
That's bad.
Okay, I love how he starts with Betts, though. Why do you start with one of your best players?
Because I think everybody sees the writing on the wall on that one. That's all. I don't think it's because anyone thinks Mookie sucks. I think that they look at Betts and say he doesn't want to be here. And, you know, they've made runs at him, albeit late. They've been late on it. They've been behind. But he's got 1 year left. He doesn't want to be here. By all accounts, he's given no indication that he would sign. What are you going to do there? What are you going to do? You need help in the minors at the very least. And so I think there's a big decision to come there. And you want to send a message to everybody else? It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to shake up the DNA of the team for sure.
No question.
Noah in Westminster, your thoughts.
Hey, man, how you doing? I'm a first-time caller, so it's nice to be talking with you guys. Just wanted to speak to the Red Sox real quick, although I don't want to be like everyone trying to rant on the station about them. You know, it's just abysmal. This team has really just left such a bad taste in my mouth after the season, and I'd almost really like to just see them lose more so that they can channel it into their next season, hopefully. Try and clean house at the end of this season to, like, figure the rest of the staffing out. And before I go, I wanted to speak to Brady, too. It takes a very little level of common sense to realize that he's not happy with the contract. So people trying to bamboozle themselves into thinking that he's pleasured with this deal, they're wrong.
It is what it is. That's just, he's telling you. That's what you say when...
What a line to drop to.
When they just hand you $70 million and you say it is what it is, what do you, that doesn't take any reading into. That's what you say when you don't want to say, when you have nothing nice to say, you don't say anything at all. You say, well, it is what it is. Okay. So
I have to live with it.
That's right. That. He used the word clean house with the Red Sox.
Too strong.
Are we cleaning house?
No, too strong. But they got to make some moves. And look, the bullpen's an easy one. And I don't even count like Moreland and Pierce. I look at those and say, those guys are up, they're gone anyway. Like, see you later. Yes, find a second baseman. So there's work to do. And they're going to have money that comes off the books. Porcello comes off. Sandoval comes off. Moreland, Pierce. They're going to have money to spend. Hell, if they trade Mookie, they're going to have a truckload of money to spend. So they'll be able to fill the needs they want. You don't have to hit home runs at every spot. Look at DJ LeMahieu with the Yankees. That's been a great pickup, right? And nobody would have called that a home run in the offseason. So you can make strategic moves. But I'll tell you, the other thing that I think about it with Mookie, just quickly, Mike, he's a passive personality. He's a passive personality. And I think Mookie is your classic millennial Red Sox. I won. I'm going arbitration every year. I'm good. You know, I don't need the day-to-day drama in Boston. I don't need it. And in that sport, you got to have someone that plays with some intensity every single... I don't mean, look like you're into the game. I mean competitive intensity every day. And I question whether he really has it.
More on the Red Sox and their state of affairs. More on the Brady contract. I'll also give you the DN Van Lines moves around the league from my friends at the DN Van Lines, the official mover of Felger. That's all coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On the Brady contract, it's always good to come to an agreement with a player, any player. So, that's a good thing. I know I'm not going to talk about the contract, so we'll move on from that.
It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it. It's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, 1 year left on their contract. So the situation, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
Really, he's under team control for 3 years on paper.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here is the 0-2. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Well, the Yankees sweep the Red Sox. They win four straight games. They hold on to their nine-game loss column lead over Tampa. And I know it sounds unbelievable. They now lead Boston by 16 in the loss column.
That's how it ended last night. It's hard not to think the season's over. Mostly because the team doesn't have the fortitude to fight through it.
They don't want it.
They don't want to fight through it.
They don't care. Yeah.
No, they don't. They want to go home.
They never, Maz has said it all day, he's right, they never wanted it in the first place. They never wanted to compete this season. Never wanted to show up. And worst of all is it was kind of sanctioned by the manager and management. It's how they allowed them. That's how the whole operation allowed them to approach this season.
They wanted it to be easy. They thought it was going to be easy, and they wanted it to be easy. And it wasn't, and now they're packing it in.
So this leads to the DN Van Lines moves around the league. And what, you know, what do you think is next for this Red Sox team? And, you know, what sort of change? And we said earlier, I don't think this is a fireball offense for Dombrowski. I don't think it's a fireball offense for Cora. This feels like the kind of year where a hitting coach or a pitching coach gets sacrificed. Like, that's sort of an easy sacrificial lamb situation. But why would you do that with the hitting coach when they lead the league in runs again? So Lavangie might be in some trouble because their pitching all went south this year, right? They never, there's only one or two guys that over, they say Eddie Rodriguez and maybe Workman. Other than that, everyone pitched below their ability, really. So I think he's in trouble.
So just looking at it quickly, 32 players in the American League pitchers have qualified for the ERA title. Porcello's 31st, Chris Sale's 24th.
Jesus.
They're both in the bottom 25%. I mean, it's like, that's a joke.
So maybe it's something like that. There is your DN Van Line move around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines. Thanks to them, they moved a trampoline for me this weekend. Tremendous. My neighbor's moving, had a big trampoline in its backyard. You want it for your girls? Sure, I'll take it. Thinking I could just walk over with my buddy and we'll walk the trampoline over? Not quite. Things like 1,000 pounds, very complicated. I had to bring in the pros, DN Van Lines. They came in, dismantled the thing, walked the thing across the street. Now it's in my backyard.
I want a video of you on that trampoline.
I'll dance around back there in my Packers underwear for you. Thanks to Odette and my friends at DN Van Lines. Use them for any of your moving needs. Stuff like that, even. They're great, stuff like that. Okay, back to your phones. Willie in Charlestown on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling. The pitching, I can see. But the thing that the Sox are really lacking, they need a bat, a good power hitter, someone who excites you in the lineup when he gets up. You know he may be good to knock in a few runs.
Okay, Willie, thanks for the call. I strongly disagree.
No way.
They lead the league in runs. I'm going to yell at you, Willie. But what, you don't need more? I mean, I'll take it. If they want to bring me a slugger in the middle of the lineup, fine, I'll take it. But that's not like a need. I don't, honestly.
You might get it. They're probably going to sign Abreu. I wouldn't be shocked if that, you know, because he's going to be a free agent. So, and they need a first baseman.
Well,
so.
Then something has to go because they're not.
I think that they maybe hope or try to convince JD Martinez to opt out. I know I'm hoping for that.
Really? You're done with JD Martinez already?
He has a walking back issue.
I'm okay if JD Martinez stays. I got no issue with JD Martinez. I mean, again, in the grand scheme of things, like in that lineup, him, Bogarts, Endeavors, 3, 4, 5, I'm good.
Honestly, I'm not apologizing for the fact I still think they have all the talent in the world, all the talent they need. They need an attitude adjustment. They don't need anything.
I want an apology for the miscalculation. You've known what you've been wanting.
They could use some relief help.
Okay. Granted. Thank you. Sorry. That's stupid. They obviously need a closer. Okay. Obviously. But other than that, same team with just some compete?
Focus?
Yeah.
No, convince someone to take some of these pitchers. Sale, Price, ugh, get the hell out of here.
So the DNA of the team is going to be altered this year no matter what. I mean, they're not bringing back the same group just by the expiring contracts. Porcello's gone. Moreland's gone. Pierce is gone. And then that's just the expiring deals. Then you might have to make a call on Mookie. That's four significant pieces. Like,
something's going to get
Yeah, us. You're going to see a change here. They're not coming back with the same crew.
Chris in Raynham has a Patriots thought. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Saturday, after I heard the contract extension, I was doing backflips. I have my first son named Brady coming in October. I was doing the math. I'm going to be able to take him to a game when he's two, say I got him to see Tom Brady. And now with this news, what Belichick's doing is not fair because he is surrounding Brady with a terrible cast around him and saying, go out there, prove it. It's like the Sports Hub firing Maz and Big Jim and giving you Ted Sarandis and being like, all right, Felger, keep up your ratings and you can get a new contract. It's one thing to give Brady the tools. It's another thing to almost sabotage him. And that's almost what this feels like. And it's not fair.
Chris, I think you make a good point.
Dodge debris.
Thank you, Ted. To me, that would be Brady's mindset. It's like, so I'm on essentially a one-year prove-it thing. And you're asking me to prove it to you with
Demaryius Thomas, Philip Dorsett, Josh Gordon, maybe. N'Keal Harry.
Right, Harry Schmedlap at receiver here. Like, and what, we're going to you keep drafting running backs?
And no real left tackle.
Right, exactly. Never mind that. Oh, I think if he felt that way, I could totally see it. Could totally see him feeling that way.
So the only thing I would say...
But are they wrong to do that?
Well, I was just going to say, how did they win it last year?
Yeah. And so, what Brady's going to have to hang his hat on is winning. Because they're still going to win, and he's still going to be there to make those big plays at the end of the game. But that big statistical kind of year, some of those years, the MVP caliber years he had when Garoppolo was here, I feel like those are over.
Oh, I don't think there's any question they're over. I think they're building it differently.
I mean, right. And never mind, even if he has the exact same ability, there's just not going to be throwing the ball as much, or he doesn't have the weaponry around him, or whatever. I mean, it's just going to be a different kind of team.
I mean, I don't think they're wrong to do it this way. I don't. I had this argument with Gasper a couple of Fridays ago where he said the margin for error for Brady now is thinner than ever before. I don't think it's thinner. I think it's bigger. I think that's the whole idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to play this out, he didn't play great in the Super Bowl. They won. He threw almost three interceptions in the AFC title game. They won. I mean, he did not have a great postseason. He had a few great moments in some of those games, but he did not have a great postseason. They still won.
He shredded San Diego.
Shredded. They all did.
Right?
Everybody, yes. Everything they did was shred.
But, so, and he had Edelman, who he still has. Gronk made some key catches at key times.
Gronk was excellent in the postseason.
Primarily as a blocker.
Situational.
Though. Right, exactly. That's how I would say is that.
But he was more to the real Gronk rather than what you saw during the regular season, at least in the postseason.
So they're without Gronk. That's a loss. No two ways about it, Mari. But I also think that they're going to be strong. The idea is that they're going to be so much stronger in other areas that Brady has to do less.
Right.
Like, that's why I think the margin for Brady is actually greater. See, so the question is, like you said, the winning.
Yeah. That's why, he's not going to be able to go to the negotiating table with 40 touchdowns against 5 interceptions. He's going to go with another AFC championship game. And that when I went 10 of 12 in the fourth quarter of the divisional game against Baltimore, blah, blah, blah. That's what he's going to, I mean, I think. Unless he surprises us or some of these guys surprise us. N'Keal Harry comes out of nowhere. I mean, other than that, who's there to throw to for him to put up big numbers?
Virtually nobody. Bill's going to ask him to complete it on third down when they need it, and that's it.
John in Providence on Brady. Go ahead, John.
I think Brady's only looking at that house in Connecticut because his son with the lady from Bullbloods, doesn't he live out there?
His son with his lady from what?
What's he saying?
Bullbloods.
Blue Bloods. Yes, Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, okay.
Does she live in Greenwich?
I don't know. Maybe she lives in New York. Who knows? But, well, then he just buys he's got condos there. What he's looking at is a freaking castle. So, even Brady, with all that cash, is not buying a castle for the visitation every other weekend for 2 days. Like, that's his condo. The castle is where you live.
Oh, no. He's buying the castle to make it a permanent, school year home.
Yes, the Brookline equivalent.
Yeah.
Except it's in New York, not Brookline. So, I don't know. Just keep an eye on it.
It's nicer than Brookline.
It's Grandpa. I don't know.
I don't know.
That Chestnut Hill neighborhood's sweet.
Yeah, this is nicer.
Larry in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, guys. I know you guys like to stir the pot and all, but I think you guys are way off on Brady and the contract. if he had signed a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal, you'd be killing him because he's 42 years old.
No. No. No, I'd say if he signs it, and it's not the length of the years, it's the amount of guaranteed money, Larry. If he had signed with a big guarantee, $50 million guarantee, I'd say, great, that means he's here for another couple of years because they just made a big financial commitment to him. By not making a big financial commitment to him, I look at it and go, uh-oh, we really could be year-to-year now.
Yeah, we are year-to-year, but he's got to deal with Kraft. He's close with Kraft. I mean, he's never been the highest-paid quarterback. For 20 years, he's never been the highest-paid quarterback.
Yeah, and it feels like it's starting to agitate him. And maybe not, he doesn't need to be the highest paid, but does he have to go hat in hand every single time? Does he have to threaten not to go to Detroit to practice with the team to get a couple extra bucks? Like, I think that's sort of building up in him, and I can see it. I see both sides. I'm sorry, Jimmy, you have to listen to this, but I see both sides of it. I do. I see why Brady's frustrated. I totally get it. I also think the team looks at it, too, and says it's stupid for us to throw huge guaranteed money at a 42-year-old guy who doesn't even practice with us in the offseason anymore. So I see their side of it, too. So I'm sorry, Jimmy. I mean, to do that to you.
Brady did bring some of this on himself, some of it. I mean, again, if you're going to start, or maybe it's a chicken and egg thing. But if you're going to spend less time there, then what do you think they're going to do? Like, maybe he spent less time there.
But I'll
there.
Tell you what, he probably says, well, even if I'm winning the parking spot, they're still going to screw me around at this time because it's just it's the way it goes around here.
Right, which is what I mean about the chicken and egg thing.
Yeah.
Like, he looks at it and says, no. You do it that way no matter what, so why should I show up?
Latest on Brady's contract and other news around the world of sports with Murray right here in the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Focuses on this year. Yep. Seems like there is some uncertainty for you contractually, at least beyond this year.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's really the reality for most guys in the NFL. You know, I don't want to think that I'm any different than everyone else. Like, it's football's a tough business. It's a production business. And, you know, I'm ready to go this year, and that's really what matters, and that's where my focus is. It's a unique situation I'm in, you know. I'm 20th year with the same team, and, you know, be 42 years old. So pretty much uncharted territory, I think, for everybody. And, you know, I'm going to go out there and do the best I can this year and see what happens.
Would you like to have had a little bit more certainty?
I'm not worried. I'm really not worried about it. You know, I'm secure for this year, and I think – at least I get a few first-team reps out there. So, you know, just go out there and try to do the best I can.
Maz has said it all day. Brady's not playing along. It's reported as a 2-year extension, meaning 2 years on top of the one he's already got. So that's 3 years. And Brady could not be any more clear. This year. And the other one, that was the milder of the two. That other comment, it is what it is. And we'll see what happens. That's the scarier one, for sure. But he ain't playing along with this 2-year, $70 million thing. He knows there's no chance he's going to see that $70 million. No chance.
Go ahead, Murray. I'm sorry.
Because that would be the easy thing to do. If he was playing perfect soldier like he usually has, he would say, no, it's great. And, you know, they obviously share my vision of playing, you know, in as close as I can to 45 and blah, blah, blah. Instead, he sounds like one of us a-holes saying, no, this is a crock. It's not an extension at all. I have 1 year left. That's it.
Oh, he would. He'd feed you the happy horse crap that he's been feeding you for 20 years. You know, I want to thank the family. You know, it's a pleasure to play for Coach Belichick. You know, we're trying to win together. That's what I like about being here. He'd give you that thing instead of, it is what it is. Like, you know, uncharted territory, for 1-year deal. Like, you know, I'm like a lot of other players, and a lot of players in the league have 1-year deals. Like, wow. I mean, again, he's not hiding anything.
So here's what's different. You know, I don't think Brady's going to go anywhere, and I don't think it's going to amount to anything other than him just being agitated. And I think that's always where it ends with him. He just gets agitated and plays, and that's that. And I think that's where this would end. What's different is that he now actually has the contractual freedom to do something more about it if he wants to. And I don't think he wants to. But without them being able to franchise him, I mean, Curran wrote it again today. He's holding an interesting hand. The Patriots cannot franchise him next February since they have agreed to that voidable year. He doesn't want to go anywhere, but he's never experienced professionally autonomy either, and he actually has it. So when the Patriots come to him after a season in which Brady, surrounded by a mostly unimposing collection of receivers, fails to tear it up statistically, which is what we've just been talking about, they won't be starting near $30 million with their 2020 salary offer. They probably won't even be looking at giving him a raise from the $23 million for his 43-year-old season. And if the standoff ensues, the Patriots will have to void Brady's deal and make him a free agent or pay him the $30 million. Imagine a Tom Brady free agency tour. The Patriots keep calling Brady's bluff, and every time he's thrown down his cards. This time, though, he's got a better hand than the Patriots in terms of being able to say, pay me or I'm leaving. Again, the likelihood of that happening is remote, but the Patriots didn't lock Brady down with this extension, in quotation marks. They did not lock him down with this extension. They actually opened the door for him to go through, and that's an outcome nobody wants. So I agree. I think he's more likely to leave now after a year, when he might say leave into retirement, than he was before today. So this that's why I feel worse. Is if I'm a fan, I feel worse about this news than I, you know, because it's not, as he said all day, it ain't really an extension.
So the fact that Brady is, you know, that they negotiated into the deal that they can't, that he can't be franchised or transitioned, like the fact that they asked for it doesn't surprise me. What surprised me that the Crafts gave it. Like
they just gave away all their leverage.
I mean, really, it's stunning that they would do that, which tells me that they don't think Brady's going anywhere. You know, that it's either retirement or he keeps playing here, and that they're willing to actually leave it out of the contract and give up their right because they don't think they're daring him at the end of it to walk. I mean, they're like playing chicken with him from a pure negotiating standpoint. That's what they're doing.
Little bit. But again, that $30 million next year, please. Brady knows it. They're only willing to give me 23 now, and I'm 42. I'm going to be now a year older, and I'm not going to have a great statistical year because I'm surrounded by bums. And so magically then at 43, they're going to give me a $30 million? No freaking way. He knows. That's why he says it is what it is. We'll see what happens.
So what? Maybe you can explain this to me. What about this nonsense that makes the Brady the sixth highest paid player in the league?
Did you see that? Well, his $23 million this year is sixth highest, I guess.
In actual cash?
Just for this year, yes.
That doesn't feel right. Anyway, I'll take your word for it.
I mean, that's what's been reported in multiple places.
It just feels low, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so we finish here with your calls on this and the Red Sox. How about Wayne and Grafton on the Sox? Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, Maz, you called it right a couple of weeks ago. The Sox are going to go 5-9. I mean, and that actually happened. It's unfortunate. I mean, and Murray, I love your sadistic, cynical Red Sox laugh. I wish I could duplicate it. We have to blame some of the players, not all the players. I mean, this team is like a disaster. I mean, you got the Hindenburg, you got the Titanic, and the Sox are going down like Monica Lewinsky.
Would you stop with that, Wayne?
They're the baseball Celtics is what they are. Extremely talented and just as equally disappointing. Like, it's unbelievable. But we just don't know if there's behind-the-scenes bitching. It just feels like they've all collectively quit, save for Bogarts and Devers.
Insane lack of compete. Insane.
I mean, it's unbelievable that professional athletes who just won a championship don't have more pride than these guys have had this year.
It's wrong that they're getting the Royals, by the way. I mean, granted, it's Rick Porcello starting tonight, so maybe he'll still get his teeth kicked in, but they should change it and have it be a better team so that the losing continues.
Openly rooting against the Sox. Patrick in the car on Brady. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to hear what you thought about this. So I know Tom Brady's getting old. I know he's supposed to play until 40 y 5, apparently. But I just wanted to think, do you guys think that he's going to make it to that kind of age and level based off of how intelligent his quarterback IQ is? Because no one else has really done that before. And, I mean, he's just a really smart guy. He knows what to do with the ball. He kind of makes good decisions. And I think maybe he could make it to that
age. Me too. I do.
Just based on that. So I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah, he does. Does he want to go to the grind? You know, and one injury I think could really tip the scales too, because then he's got to spend all that time rehabbing, just getting back to level. And I don't know if he'd be willing to do that. I think any sign of significant injury would be a career ender for him. But short of that, if the wife would let him, and he could handle the mental grind of it, yes. I think the way the position is played now, the way the league is called, the way these guys are protected, the way he bails out of contact even when it's not there, like, you know, I think he's really protective of himself and he gets rid of the ball quick. All that, I think he could do it. I do.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be asked to throw a lot of, you know, what I would call high danger passes, you know, meaning he's going to have to hold it back there and whip, you know, wait for the receiver to get down the field and risk taking a massive shot. Of course, if they don't have a left tackle, like maybe he will take a hit or two.
Dan in Falmouth on the Sox. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys, just a couple points. Number one, last week I was pissed at Dombrowski that he didn't do anything. Now I'm more pissed at him that he was right. He was proven right. A couple other things. Number one, I don't think it's as easy as we got to get rid of players. I think it's deeper. I think it's a DNA issue. Sort of that, I wouldn't mind getting rid of Price, in my opinion. And, you know, but my question to you is, Maz, who is the scapegoat? Is it going to be a coaching staff member? Is it going to be a bullpen arm?
Yeah, who's the scapegoat, Maz?
Well, so we had a caller earlier that brought up Lavangie, and that's a good one. I mean, again, typically in a team like this, you go after the pitching coach. They're not going to go after Cora. I doubt Dombrowski will get fired, but he may not be re-signed. Okay, he's got one more year left on his contract. I think his initial deal was a five-year deal, right? That started in, whatever, 2016, I think. So you look at that and you say, okay, well, where are we then? Well, I mean, the pitching coach is an easy target. And again, personally, it kills me to say that because I know the guy. I think they'll reassign him. You know, it's not like I talk to him much anymore, but my guess is they'll keep him in the organization. But if there's any dysfunction on that team, doesn't it have to be on the pitching staff?
Yeah.
I mean, like...
I mean, their starters have absolutely cratered.
The level of underachievement on that pitching staff...
Sale, Price, Porcello.
Oh, my God, is off the charts. It really is. It's ridiculous how much they've underachieved. So you that's where you should be looking if you're the Red Sox.
Christian in Foxborough on the Red Sox. Hi, Christian.
Yeah, Porcello tonight, loss. Andrew Astner tomorrow, loss. Brings me to your point, Murray. Who do you guys think had a more disappointing season, the Celtics or the Red Sox? I mean, obviously the Celtics' expectations was to reach the finals. They didn't. But you look at this Red Sox team, they're not even going to make the second wild card. They're on pace to be a 500 club. So.
Okay, who was more disappointing, Celtics or Red Sox? His phone bugged me.
I ultimately think the Celtics because it's been, you know, notoriously here in the last 20 years or so, it really, in baseball over the last like 30, 40 years, for teams to repeat. The Celtics, nationally, everybody thought that they were a lock to win the East and have a competitive series with the Golden State Warriors. It's close, but it's the Celtics for me.
Celtics, and I'll tell you why. Because for the Red Sox, for all of their deficiencies, at least there was an actual championship that they had a hangover from. Mm. The Celtics had a hangover without the championship, Jaylen Brown.
No, just a self-anointed championship.
Oh, my gosh. Like, they didn't even win it.
Right, they were hungover from dreams.
Like, at least the Red Sox actually won it and then thought they were better than they were. The Celtics didn't even win it.
Fair point.
I mean, that's where I go. I look at that and say, that totally the Celtics are worse. Totally. But this is bad. Do not kid yourself.
Okay, more of it coming up in the baseball.
Mike, do you have an opinion on this?
I was hoping to get out of that. Celtics. Because there was, I mean, I don't know. They're both so bad. But, oh, what an unlikable group that Celtics team was. I mean, who's more unlikable, David Price or Kyrie Irving?
Ooh, Kyrie.
By a hair.
Kyrie. To me, it's Kyrie. All right, final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. Whole lot of Red Sox to get to in the final word today.
So. Oh, give me some This Week in Baseball.
Oh, hopefully Jimmy has produced it that way, because we'll start with you, Felger, ever the facilitator, refusing to apologize for not giving up on the Red Sox when he should have weeks and weeks, perhaps months ago.
Item number two. You want an apology from me on the Red Sox, Murray?
Yep, I do.
Why?
So does Jimmy Stewart.
Because
how long now? Oh, they're so good. You can't give up on this team. You can't sell. Nope, there's too much talent. Too much talent. I know what my eyes have been showing me here for the better part of since the beginning of the season. They stink. Underachieving, gutless losers. That's the 2019 Boston Red Sox. Apologize.
Sorry, they're still talented. They're still super talented. And so, no.
Ugh.
No, I don't apologize for that. I apologize for saying they should be good. So I don't apologize.
They just took the year off.
They have the talent, Murray. They still have the talent.
Jimmy, get them.
Do I need to apologize for that?
Yes. Every day, Felger comes in. Oh, we should look at the bright side of things. They're good. They're talented. Oh, this Red Sox team is going to repeat. You didn't actually say that, but I'm saying you did.
Thank you.
Yay. I want to be Dan Roach 2.0 and facilitate pleasant Red Sox discussion. Yay, Red Sox. Let's go get them.
All the starting pitching, and you have all these Cy Young Award winners, even Rick Porcello in the back. They all stink. Xander Bogaerts.
You have four aces. Four aces. And great. And Barnsey. Awesome. And Brazzers.
It's Bogaerts and Devers.
And a record-breaking offense. Yippee!
The rest of them are a bunch of pukes. They really are.
You know, what makes it such a story is that they're this talented. And you get no apology.
Yeah, of course not. Well, here's Maz with his thoughts on the 2019 Boston Red Sox after their 8-game losing streak.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. It's frankly shameful is what it is. What did Price, and I didn't add up the numbers. I said, because I just.
Sale and Price over the weekend?
Combined. Woo-hoo. What did they pitch? Combined 7 innings and gave up 15 runs or something like that? Those two ass clowns? Like, I don't know how you could possibly look at it and not start with those two guys.
Oh,
and you know what? Throw Porcello on the list, too.
The ass class clownery. The ass clownery of that team. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
During the 8-game losing streak, they have a team ERA of 7.28. Team. They've given up 86 hits in 68 innings, walked 37, and given up 16 home runs. They suck. They suck. How do you lose 8 in a row? 8 in a row at the most important stretch of your season. How do you lose 8 in a row like that?
That's like hard to do.
It's impossible to do with that kind of talent. It's impossible.
Thank you. Back me up there. The talent's still there. I don't apologize.
It's a disgrace what they've done. They've quit. They've quit. And if I had it in me, I'd love to pull the plug on the baseball reporters right now. For crying out loud, they've quit, those freaking prideless bums. Oh, my God, for them to go in the tank like they've gone in the tank. Inexcusable. What a freaking embarrassment.
And the music makes it.
Well, we have this as well as the Red Sox start up a 7-game homestand, which begins tonight. The first 3 against the Kansas City Royals. Maz has a PSA of sorts for you, the Red Sox fan.
8 in a row. They haven't lost 9 in a row since 2014, I think, when they traded away all those guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then they really sucked. That team had no talent. For this team, if they lose to Kansas City tonight.
Well, it's Porcello starting.
Yeah. You know what? This occurred to me, too. If you're going to the ballpark tonight, and I say this without the slightest bit of vengeance or anything else.
Boo their asses.
You should boo their asses right off the field. From the second they show up, you should boo them. Boo. 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 Boo them off. Boo them off the effing field. Seriously, they deserve to get their asses booed tonight. Boo. 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 Boo them. Oh, my God. They totally deserve to get their asses booed. Well, they deserve it. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Real quick, Tuesday, week from tomorrow, Tuesday the 13th of August, the Sports Hub will celebrate 10 years as Boston's home for sports. 10 years already, Anthony. Can you believe that?
Oh, it's incredible.
From 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., we'll look back at some of the biggest moments in Boston sports and the biggest Sports Hub moments from the past decade. Our 10th anniversary celebration is presented commercial-free. That's right, a week from tomorrow, we're going commercial-free, folks, all day long. From Aaron, this is thanks to Aaron, the king of snow. From championship celebrations to agonizing defeats, it's been quite a ride. Again, thanks to Aaron's for helping us go commercial free next Tuesday for our 10th anniversary celebration. Listen Tuesday on air and streaming anywhere on the 98.5 The Sports Hub application. Also, quickly, I just want to mention, you may have heard this news already, Don Banks, longtime NFL reporter, friend of the show. He's been on this show many times. I used to do a TV show with him at NBC Sports Boston, formerly Comcast Sportsnet, wrote for Sports Illustrated, wrote for The Athletic, just took a job in Las Vegas to cover the Raiders, headed there. Don Banks passed away in his sleep at the age of 57.
Sad story.
Sunday night. Crushing. Way too young. Super good guy. I know he and his wife, Alyssa, made Boston home for some time. I don't know if they still live here or his kids still live here. He's got two kids. And so thoughts and prayers and condolences, deepest condolences to the Banks family for your loss. That is a crusher. He was a good guy.
Yeah, you knew him better than I did. I knew him only a little bit. And to his credit, Bill Belichick actually had some nice things to say at the beginning of his session today, too, about Don Banks.
Okay, so there's that. Baseball reporters, Maz, what do you got coming up?
So, look, again, the week that was for the Red Sox, 8 in a row. Chris Sale, we'll get a little bit more into his performance, but it's basically Price, Sale, and we're going to work our way backwards.
Okay, should be a fun hour. Comes your way in 90 seconds without any commercials. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 for a fully loaded Felger and Maserati program. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.